Deadlands, Tales from the Shattered Coast continues in Session 57, Part 1 tonight. Our usual cast of characters take up the challenge. Chris, Sharon, Jameis, and Richard all return for the action. Nothing new to report, so let's jump right in. All right, so we are back with another Deadlands Tales from the Shattered Coast. This is session 57. Tonight we have back our usual cast of charming characters, starting with Eddie.
And us.
Eddie Guff, as played by...
Hi, I am Chris, and I am playing Eddie, the werewolf gunslinger. I have three white chips, and my cards are Renown, Arcane Inspiration, Adrenaline Surge, Here Comes the Cavalry, and uh-oh.
Moving on to Luke Villeneuve, as played by...
Hi, this is Jameis playing Luke Villeneuve, not a doctor, a martial artist, or a werewolf. The cards that I have are Enemy. I play at the beginning of the game and I get a sworn enemy. Turncoat. Convinces a minor foe to do a small favor. Love Interest. One of our favorite cards we always play all the time. Folk Hero. Play after you do something good and the party adopts you and your community adopts you and your party's heroes. Make no mistake. Play when facing any kind of creature with immunity and vulnerability. One character may ignore the special abilities of the creature for the duration of the combat and spill the beans. Subject of your questioning tells you everything you want to know, whether either by friendly persuasion, intimidation, or force.
All right, and moving on to Young Jean-Lu, as played by...
As played by me, I'm Richard, and today I have the exciting card Stress to Kill, which is Swords of Grisness for a scene, Epiphany, D6 and a skill for the adventure. In stash, find a generic item of some description. Reinforcements, the best card you could ever have. Play during combat, reinforcements arrive for the bad guys. The exact number and type is up to the GM. Every player character immediately draws an adventure card. Huzzah! Extra effort, get plus 26 to any roll, and perfect timing, pay a bet, drag any other card out of
the... And one of our lovely players is crunching something against their microphones, making all kinds of racket. Yes, whoever that person is.
It wasn't me, it wasn't me!
It's always you with that particular type of noise, Sharon.
Put down the snacks. And speaking of which, Sarah Beauchamp.
Yes, I'm Sharon. I'll be playing Dr. Sarah Beauchamp, healer and debtor extraordinaire. And my cards tonight are Angry Mob, play during combat, a mob of angry locals, equal to two per hero, joins the battle as allies. Treat them as soldiers armed with whatever the GM deems appropriate. Better you than me, play when your hero has been hit by an attack and there's an adjacent character, the other character suffers the attack instead. May be played on friend or foe. Hot Iron and Whiskey. Play at a wounded character. He has one wound healed, but gains a permanent scar. Roll in the injury table for location. And he gains a permanent minus one charisma if the scar is visible.
Because apparently chicks don't dig scars in Deadlands.
Yeah, apparently not. Inspiration. Friendly characters, including your hero, add plus two trait rolls for the rest of this round. And finally, Windfall. Play when your hero searches an area for treasure, loots a fallen foe, etc. Founds everything that can be found, and gets the best possible result if it's random.
All right. And picking up from our last session, we are in Sacramento doing things and looking for things. So, recap. What happened last time?
Things.
Lots of things.
We took a train to Sacramento. We're staying at a real ritzy hotel. We freed a spirit that was trapped. We went to a party, and we're going to be looking for someone. And that's about all I can remember.
All right, take a watch.
Which isn't saying much.
Take a watch. Number one.
Well, what we did, we met with our contact, and pretty much had kind of like our choice of missions, whether we could go after, try to find out what happened to the ghost, or to go after the Whatley kids, and we decided we were going to go after the Whatleys, because we had a better line on them.
Sarah's drawn a blue chip. Anything else? No. Anyone?
I wasn't listening, so I have no idea what to say. Stuff happens.
Negative chips.
Yay. I can't even remember what we did last time. So that's not going to help very much.
Essentially, the big thing was you had the decision to make whether to try and find the ghost or to try and find the Whatleys, in particular the brother and sister pair that was last seen in Sacramento, where you currently are residing.
So we had what's-his-name from the agency come over and we gave him his letter.
Court Williams is his name, not what's
I'm never going to remember that, so don't even try.
And you all need to remember the exciting passcode phrase that we add in case he figures out somebody else is definitely not corrupt within his agency. Does anybody remember what that phrase was?
Something about dragons.
So if somebody comes up to you saying something about dragons, just
like the dragon swims at night or something?
Or flies in the midnight or something.
The dragon flies at or dragons fly at midnight.
That's the thing about secret passcodes to verify your identification. You just have to get in the ballpark, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Red chip each, Young and Luke, for our rousing recap of last session. So, you are on the trail of the Whatley pair. You are staying in the hotel that they were most recently sighted in. As a matter of fact, they have the room directly above you, which some shenanigans went down with last session.
Yes, they're sort of captive guard dog thing.
The ghost we set free. The ghost dog. No, not the ghost dog. And we buried his remains. And we found some books in the...
Which we gave to court. They were bound in human skin.
We also found that our heroes apparently are much nicer to monsters than they are to human beings. So,
also given.
Yeah. If I remember correctly,
no, it was animals, not monsters.
The books had something, some sort of like looked like card hands in them, and with a bunch of notations.
Mm-hmm.
Magical. Notations how stuff works. We also got a address book with various different things, which we also handed over to Court Williams, not before we made a copy of it ourselves.
Yep.
And somebody in that was somebody that Sarah had bumped to in the town, but unfortunately I don't have his name noted down.
Yep.
Oh, yes, I do. Warren Edgemond, who was an imp to egg.
Talk to him about some strange thingamajiggeries.
Right, but I also have his card and an invitation to meet with him if we wanted to discuss anything. And because he had done business with the Whatleys, that's as good a lead as any.
Yeah, I don't believe we had any idea where they were heading to next. I don't think we had that.
We had matchbooks, and that's about it.
Yeah, matchbooks to here. I don't think we had any further afield than this. I mean, they've only been gone here 2, maybe 3 days, if I recall correctly, from the amount of posts and stuff and general talk about how, when people last saw them.
And you also have determined they haven't checked out yet. So as far as the hotel knows, they're still staying here, whether or not they've been here for the last few days.
It happens.
I think we finished with us doing something with the bone. Or at least that was a plan.
So do we want to call on Mr. Warren Edgemond?
I think that would probably be the best course of action.
Alright, before we go to him, I want to get all cleaned up. It's been a long ride.
Yes.
Oh, I would have liked a good night's sleep before we do that. It's the next morning, I assume, actually. Must be.
Mm-hmm.
It should be, anyway.
Yeah. You were up most of the night doing things, and you took care of the...
Because Court Williams came next morning anyway, so we've had a night. We've just been talking to, yes. So, who is this Warren Edgington bloke that you mentioned?
Okay, I have his business card, so I'm going to, like, pass it around. I believe he's an importer-exporter that does, had done some business with the Whatleys on rare items, and he had mentioned that the Whatleys, if I remember correctly, the Whatleys had something interesting that they were trying to sell. I could be wrong on that.
And you have an invitation to talk to
him? Yes.
Do you have an invitation to talk to him? Or does everybody?
It was basically just contact him if you have anything interesting. And maybe we can do business.
Didn't he say that he had something? That he was going to have, that he needed something looked at?
Yeah, he said that he had a particular item that he thought Mr. Whatley would be interested in.
Okay, I got it backwards then. Okay, yes.
Yeah, and then Sarah said that she knows somebody that could probably help or look at it. Okay.
Yep, that's basically what you've got to work with. You've got someone who sells artifacts to the Whatley, Nicodemus in particular, and has an item he thought he might be interested in. He did say he thought he might be interested in, not that Nicodemus himself had commissioned it to be found or anything. You know that supposedly they're still staying in this hotel. You can tell by their mail that they've not been here in a few days. And some people do remember seeing them around town in the last day or two. The little soiree that happened the night before. Oh, and as far as the matchboxes go, one of them does actually have a different hotel on it. Give me a second here. The Bitterman Hotel. Bitterman.
Is that a hotel we have heard of?
It's not one of the two that you have so far come across, no.
Huh. Well, that makes it all the more interesting to check out, then.
Is that here in Sacramento?
Who do you ask?
The front desk at our hotel.
Yeah.
Sure, yes. Woman looks at you a little measuringly and says, I wouldn't recommend staying there, but yes, it is a place to hang one's hat, I suppose.
We have an associate that may be staying there. We
definitely looks a little taken aback at that. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. But it is in the Rat District, if you'll...
Oh.
Ooh. I better dress down for that.
She nods.
We weren't told where it was, so you'll have to forgive us for not knowing.
Well, I mean... It figures, and I mutter something about spoiled brat slumming again.
She smiles a little. She says, oh, I understand. Not being visiting our city here, you wouldn't know anything about the district or the hotel itself. It used to be quite a fancy place before the quake. And in the last couple of years, one of those Mohammedan men took over and has kind of redecorated the area in his... very odd, orientalish design.
I look at her.
She looks at you and she shakes her head. It's not. I'm sorry. Not in your custom. No. His name is Fasil Ibn something something Muhammad something something. Very long name. Hard to pronounce.
So I take it it's not the most savory of locales.
Given its location in the Rat District, that alone would cause it problems. But, you know, the city has tried to rehabilitate the area, of course, after the quakes. But for some reason, all of the best efforts have failed. Buildings just continued to fall apart. And there's the severe problems there with sewage and water. And we've had our best engineers at it for a while, and it just doesn't seem to get better. So now it's just become a place where those that are less fortunate do hang their hats, and the hotel is still in okay repair. People do use it. But it is a not-so-reputable district of town. It's certainly not a place where one would go to meet a business associate, at least not in the... Well, I shouldn't judge.
Perhaps he was misinformed as to a good place to stay.
Well, yeah, that's possible. As I said, the hotel was once very lavish, very nice. he's over man, at Facile.
Perhaps he's just being cheap.
All right, too.
She just smiles politely. And gives you basically very simple directions to it. It's in the west part of town. It's very hard to miss. Our clean, orderly streets soon become very disrepaired looking, and well, that's how you know you're there. Continues to smile.
I thank her very much.
Yeah.
Definitely dress down. I don't know that I'd go around in those streets in such finery. Do you maybe have a potato sack? Joke. Small joke.
giggle a little bit, smile. I said, I understand.
Oh, I really don't think you do. It's quite a horrible place.
Oh, my young lady, I do understand.
I imagine the wolfish smile.
Yeah. Yes.
Does not put her at ease.
It doesn't mean to. Doesn't need to.
Oh, look at the time on my bare wrist. It's time for lunch. Good seeing you again. Hope to serve you later. Good afternoon.
So watch is gone out. Why do we care about that hotel? I wasn't. I'm sorry that we're
here. One of the matchbooks had it listed.
All right.
Is there any other address in that book that has an address that's in the Rat District?
No, but after the lady did say the man's name was Facile Ibn blah 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 Shatar blah blah Muhammad, you do find a listing of for a Facile Ibn Simkir in his address.
Close enough. So he is in there.
Okay.
All right. Let's go talk to Mr. Warren.
All right. Mr. Warren's establishment is down by, in Barcino, down to by the docks here. There's lots of warehouses along there. It's for a dockside area. It's actually very clean, very neat and orderly. The people working there are, well, you know, rather large and brutish. All seem to be more better mannered than in most portside areas that you've been in recently. He does have a small building here. It's right next to the Fort of Sacramento. Remember this, there is a military base right in Sacramento here. Another reason why it's probably so orderly. Military ships. All right. He has a small shingle on the outside, basically saying that fine imports from around the world.
Not be found here.
Maybe that's what the etched out words at the very bottom of that sign say. Hard to tell. You can only wonder.
Isn't every import-export place say the same thing?
Pretty much. There are several fine lads that are moving in crates of materials through the back of the small building. It has a glass-fronted store, storefront, so you can see in. And he does have quite a nice display of statuary, wall hangings, rugs, that sort of thing. And there are a few shoppers inside. It looks like probably servants shopping for their masters or employers. People out to decorate their establishments or hotel rooms, that sort of thing. So he does have a fair amount of business going in. Crates are being brought to the back. There we go. Some fashionable women are also standing outside looking in, commenting over some of the tapestry and rug work that has recently come in. A lot of it has Far Eastern charm.
Do you want to just go in by yourself, Sierra, or do you want all of us to barrel on in there and...
I at least would like Eddie to come in.
Sure.
We'll come in if we hear shouting and the guy screaming.
So a well-appointed and social woman in this time would, of course, have some person accompanying her. Eddie is as good as any, I guess.
Of course, yes.
By the screaming and the by the shadow screaming and the man, we're pretty much assuming that he's going to be in trouble before any of our group will be.
Yeah. You open the nice, very expensive-looking front door, and there is a tinkle as a bell above is rung, and Warren is behind a desk, seeming to be checking off inventory. He has a nice young lady in their early 20s, sparkling blue eyes and well-dressed, is talking to some of the equally... well-dressed ladies who are inquiring about certain things. It is a well-opened storefront area with things very out of the way. Most things are either hanging or on high shelves, giving people ample room to move about and to admire without touching. Mr. Warren looks up and does see you walk in. It's, oh, Miss Beauchamp.
Yes.
Just says something quickly to some of the young men, pulls out some coins change hands, and he comes over to you, wiping off his hands on a cloth before dropping it and extending his hand to you.
I take his hand, give it a businesslike shake.
All right. Eddie, what role are you playing here? Are you, like, standing right next to her as if you're an associate, or you've got a couple of steps back as if you were a servant?
Next to her as associate.
Okay, in which case he will turn to you and say, oh, I believe I saw you on our last conversation, but I'm afraid I can't place the name, Mr.
Oh, this is my associate, Mr. Guff.
Mr. Guff. Thank you very much for coming into my fine establishment. I'm sure you can find many interesting things here to accouter yourself with. A man such as yourself would be interested in some very nice bowlers that we recently came in. Points out a hat section of his store.
I will have to take a look on my way out.
And what do I owe the pleasure of this visit?
Oh, yes. My associate, Mr. Guff, is a bit of an expert on some of the more rare and unusual items that are encountered out west here. And since you did mention that you might have a few, I thought that he might be interested in looking in them, if, of course, that you are interested in displaying them.
Well, I do have the one piece that was slated for Mr. Nicodemus, but he has so far not responded to my correspondence. And being a businessman, of course, he is a good client of mine, but business first, business first. And if a man here is interested in looking at my item and has cash in hand, well, who am I to gainsay that? Please, Mr. Guff, step into my back room here.
I will walk in with him.
And he says, Mr. Nicodemus has been buying some very interesting artifacts from me of lately, most of them having some sort of, how would you put it, godly significance. A cross here or there, supposedly a splinter of the true cross he had an interest in. Some paintings that I understand hung in some very influential churches in the old world. Churches? Do they call them chapels? My etiquette is not so good on that. But he has recently been asking for, things outside the Christian faith as well. And I just happened upon this very, very interesting item. He hands you, it looks like it's kind of a dull brass looking, device. Actually, go ahead and go give me a roll there on occult, Eddie.
Okay.
Do you need your scores or do you have them there?
I believe I have it in my sheet.
Okay.
Before I go to grab this item, I want to pull out a pair of gloves, put them on, and then grab the item.
Okay.
And it was a 9.
A 9. That is a good roll. It is Tibetan in origin. It is a phylactery that is used to hold cremated remains of a very important person.
Does it... I personally have never seen one. Does it feel like their remains are in there?
It is made of hand-hammered, it's probably brass. He does allow you to pick it up and examine it. The top is sealed. Looks like it was sealed with like a molten lead, perhaps, and with the heft in it, and something does kind of shake around inside. You think that there probably are ashes and a bit of bone inside.
Okay. Is there any writing on it?
Yes. It is covered in Tibetan scrawl.
Which I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, unfortunately, if it's not one of the languages you know, it's... Yep. But, I mean, you know exactly what the relic is. I mean, this is essentially the resting place of the final remains of someone who was of importance, usually religiously important.
Sir, this is a very interesting item.
Actually, I will give you one other thing, given your dual nature. Go ahead and give me a notice roll. This one's going to be a little hard.
Ah, 12.
12. Very good. Yeah, you normally, as part of your nature, you do tend to keep track of smells and things. So there's something that just smells a little wrong about this, a little off. Like, if you were to come across, spoiled meat, you know, it just got that, you know, it's something that you don't really want to touch or be around. And it's the wolf side of your body that's responding to that.
You mean my wolf side doesn't want spoiled meat?
No, not particularly. Freshly killed.
Fresh, yeah.
That's better.
So what you're saying is he's standing too close to Sarah?
I'm used to that smell by now. Besides, there's plenty of perfume, so
yes.
You can't smell it.
Sarah has been buying some of the finest perfumes in each of the stops you've been making. At least one of the last stops, anyway, I remember.
I'm going to tilt my head to the side, look at Mr. Edgemond, and say, how badly do you want to part with this?
Ah, okay. Well, of course, I'm a businessman. It's not something I just wish to keep around. I was thinking, he kind of judges you for a moment. He says, well, for Mr. Nicodemus, of course, being one of my better customers, the price would have been a little lower. But as you are here now and in an interested party, let's say, he eyeballs you, 300.
How about 200, sir?
Oh, no, hold on. Eddie, unless you followed along, Eddie went to the back.
Yeah.
You did, okay. Oh, all right, so you're kind of standing in the back. 200. I will consider that offer, but allow Mr. Nicodemus at least one more day to respond to my correspondence, and I'm sure we could come to that agreement. $250. Oh, well, you know, $50 does go a long way these days.
You do realize we are here now, and Mr. Nicodemus hasn't responded to any of your requests.
I will point out that is a large sum of money, which you're probably not carrying on your person. You have it, but not on your person. You'd have to stop by a bank to get those funds out.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Really? You don't just carry 300 with you?
Considering that most people at this point are carrying money in the form of coins, like $20 gold coins, that sort of thing, that many hundreds of dollars would be an awful lot of weight to carry around. Well, okay, give me a persuasion roll. This will be a hard one because he is a businessman. This is what he does for a living. He's got
You know what? Sarah better make it.
Well, she was the last one to speak, so.
Okay. So that, 12.
Wow, okay. I'm going to go ahead and give him a roll here. This is his thing. Okay, it's still a success, but not an overwhelming one. He ponders it for a moment. He says, I tell you what, if I can have a banknote or cash in hand before Mr. Nicodemus replies to my correspondence, I would be glad to let this grace your fireplace or other prominent location for such a piece.
Then it is settled. You will have the bank draft by tomorrow at the latest.
And again, I must insist on this. If Mr. Nicodemus comes before I have the draft in my hand, I'm afraid I will have to sell to a long-standing client. You understand these things, of course.
I understand, of course.
I nod my head, yes, of course.
Very good, very good. In the meantime, we will, of course, have it wrapped and delivered, but have you seen our tapestries?
No, I have not. Scottish accent. We're here to see the tapestries.
All right. Meanwhile, outside, you guys are just kind of standing outside of this business, which is drawing a little attention by
Is there a tea house or something we can go have a cup of coffee and or tea?
Okay. Well, you know, this kind of happens as you're standing out there for just a few minutes. Some soldiers do come by and kind of give you the hairy eyeball, giving you the idea that standing in front of businesses like this is not really.
Yeah. We're just casing the joint, aren't we?
There is a little outdoor eatery here. Someone has set up essentially an outdoor grill. He's put up an awning and set out places for people to sit and eat to enjoy the oceanside view.
Enjoy the smelly fish and the people getting off the boats and unloading stuff.
Well, there's not a lot of there are no fishmongers on this end of the pier anyway, but there is, these are cargo vessels, so I mean you're mostly getting a view of burly men unloading lots and lots of little square boxes. But nonetheless, he is having a little brisk business. If nothing else, he's serving hot coffee and tea, which as the people working the docks get a little time. They do wander over to get a little brisk pickup. He's basically just got a cup where people are throwing their change into and helping themselves.
I try and arrange the seating of us so that Wimitai is looking into the shop.
Easily enough, since there is a glass front to the shop. Except for the point where they go into the back room to view the object is the point where you will lose sight of them. But other than that, and they're not there long. A couple minutes is really all it took for Eddie to see there's something up with it and for Sherrod to secure some kind of promise on it. So they're out of view for approximately 5 minutes before they come back into view. And while you're sitting there, why don't the three of you, including Wimitai, give me notice rolls?
Ooh. Okay, where is my... for people who don't know, we're having trouble with Fantasy Grounds, so we're using another system at the moment.
Roll 20, in use.
Wow.
Wow, the tea is really good. And these little biscuits? Apparently Young likes them too.
Two's all round.
Yes. This is some amazingly good...
Oh, that was Wimitai. Yeah.
Nobody is...
So, two's all around, but did Wimitai get...
Two.
Okay,
she's
yeah.
She's the second roll.
So you sit down, you know, expecting this is just a stakeout, but then you start sipping the tea or coffee and having a little bit of the little treats that he's providing, and they're just amazing. There's people are paying for the tea and coffee, and he's just going around with little trays of finger food, just, you know, let people sampling stuff. You know, he's not asking for any money for it. He's just like handing around these little trays of you know, little pastries and little cakes and little biscuits. And it's just amazing how good these things are.
Excellent. We must have some civilized drink in this country.
Yeah. And so you're all completely distracted.
Yep.
Sarah, your notice rule is a...
It is a D8.
Yes. Plus two to it for some reason.
Sure. It's not showing that anywhere else.
It's showing it in our sheet. Yeah, plus cat's eyes, plus two to notice rolls in dim and dark conditions. It's not an all the time thing. Okay, yeah, there we go. Okay, so yeah, you're oblivious to things. But it doesn't take long for your companions to finish up. He talks to you just a bit longer, showing you off some of the tapestries, which is newest, fabulous thing that he's secured to come in. They're quite nice. But he begs off to go and help some other customers after he's done business with you. There's a nice new stand of beautiful hats made from what they claim to be giant beaver fur.
No.
Yarny killing rampage.
Yes, we must suffering. Find out who's getting these giant beavers and kill them then.
Make fine hats out of them.
Is it really the giant beaver fur?
You don't think so. it looks like normal beaver. Okay, so now what?
We wait for the others to report back. Tell us what's going on.
So he's done with you guys, and he goes to help other customers and leaves you to your own devices.
Okay. Yeah, left to our own devices.
Anything? Should we be worried? Should we not be worried?
They are fascinated by the hangings and hats, apparently. Sarah, Eddie? What are you guys doing?
That's well, after looking at the hats, looking at the tapestries, and then taking our leave. As leave, it's like, Eddie, we need to stop by a bank.
Yes, we do.
What about... All right.
And so then, you guys see everyone sitting around this little eatery. It seems to be well engaged in their food and paying no attention to anything else.
We'll have to walk up to them.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so... You know,
do they notice us walking up to them, at least?
I wouldn't.
No, I don't think so. Is this pistachio in this one? A short man. He's a big smile on his face, dark hair. He's really short, though. He's like, you know, maybe just a hair under 5 feet. Comes up to you bearing a silver tray. This got all these little well-made, you know, just cookies and cakes, little bite-sized portions of them, and just says,
"Have some."
So yeah, there you are. You are all together again.
I repeat what I said earlier, seeing as I thought we were actually all together when I said, so what did we learn?
I will tell them about the item and that we have to go to a bank and get a banknote.
Drawn on agency funds, I guess? Or not?
Yeah, you could do it either way. I mean, you do have an account that you tap into from the agency.
I don't think we've got any accounts that we would be able to tap into.
Well, you do. You have the accounts that your pay has been going into, for instance.
Right, but we've been getting instructions via telegraph saying, hey, this is it. And then we've gone in and cashed out,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah. They do keep accounts in major banks, though. So I mean,
you can't. But I don't think we've got any bank accounts apart from Luke. I think Luke is the only person who has ever bothered to set up a bank account.
No, that is not true. I have a bank account. Sarah has a bank account.
Yeah.
Yep. So you two are funding it. So either you two are funding it, or the agency is funding it. I'll let you two fight it out amongst yourselves.
Luke opened up a bank account just so the Caledonia could drain it dry.
Yep.
Is this like regular banking where if I write a promissory note on my account and they present it, it's good?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'm funding it then.
So the agency to fund it.
What do you
think? Well, the agency. Think of it. I think the agency should fund it, but...
You think it is important to buy this for some reason?
Yes. There's something odd about this. It's not just an artifact. There's something wrong about it.
And you think that if anything else, you think the agency might want to just have it, so using their funds for it might not be a bad thing.
Yeah. So you think we should buy it now for some reason to keep it out of the Whiteley's hands rather than using it as bait to bring him here? Or do you propose that we use it as bait while we are here? I mean, to draw him to us? To try and acquire the item, or
if we use it as bait, it will be we won't have as many third parties involved. We can have more control over the situation.
Uh-huh. These cookies are really good. Yes, that's what we should do.
Are they? Let me try one of these. Are they good?
You got to try at least 4 different types. They're very, very good.
Okay. Mmm. Yeah, they are good. Are they?
Another 20 minutes goes by as you guys continue to eat and drink.
Yeah,
I like the idea that Nicodemus will be coming after us, so we don't have to worry about trying to find him. And let's go to the bank.
Okay. They do have a fairly large branch here. And they actually have soldiers from Fort Sacramento that are out front and inside. So it's fairly well defended. Very lavish. So you go forward and you're going to draw the funds from the agency account. You want to have a check wrote from that account?
Yes.
Okay.
The one thing about that is that do we want this to be traced back to the agency? Do we care if they trace it back to the agency?
Write a check out from the agency to me, and then I'll write the check out.
Yep.
Why do we pay this ceremonial $250? It's crazy amount. Right.
That might be, especially if we want Nicodemus to come after us. We want him to know that we're the ones who have it. So,
once you present credentials, which are verbal, they told you how to access things. The banker you're talking to does go off and makes a goes off and appears to use the telegraph for a moment and comes back and says, yes, the funds are cleared, writes it off, deposits it into your own personal account, and then you have a bank draft made from that account in the sum of $250.
Wait, do we wish to...
Too late.
These drafts, yes, I know. But I could take that draft from you, right? It is not a draft made to a person.
You can make it to a specific person, but you can also just have it, you know, bearer. It's worth that, you know, anyone
can
cash
it
in.
I don't want it bearer. I'll make it out to Mr. Edgemond?
Mm-hmm. Lord Edgemond. Yep.
Yes, I was just checking that we could not steal it, or somebody could not take it and then spend it all on AAA whiskey or anything.
We could have gotten the money back, but no, it's now made up to William, so we can't.
All right, so you're going to go directly back and make the purchase now, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just get it, be done with it.
Yeah, he's glad to make the transaction. And, of course, Mr. Whatley has not come around, so he says, well, I'm sure he will be upset to find that someone got the jump on him, but perhaps this will urge him to respond to my communications more quickly in the future. I'm sure
well,
this will be a nice piece for you.
You may tell Mr. Whatley that I did purchase it, and that if he's very interested in it, he can please see me directly.
Oh, do you have a card I can leave?
Well,
I'm sure you do have cards as a doctor.
Yeah, yes. But what's the hotel that I'm staying at again? The
you guys are staying
the good
at
one.
The Golden good one. Dragon. Yeah.
Golden Dragon. Yes. Well, I'll be at the Golden Dragon for a while.
Well, of course. Should I have this packed and sent there, or would you like to carry it along? It's no big deal to have it sent to your hotel. I'm sure they. You can place it in the room for you.
No, I believe that Mr. Guff is very eager to examine it. So if he could just wrap it.
I can see Mr. Guff sure. Now carrying all of Sarah's stuff around town as she goes and makes lots of purchases. He does pack it really well. He packs it really well into a small wooden box. And he puts some straw in there to keep it all safe and taps the lid on and hands it over to you.
I graciously accept it, smile, and look at Sarah and say, tapestry, hat, more stuff for you?
I think that's probably enough for today, but we can come back tomorrow.
Okay.
You can have it all shipped back to perdition for your house that's being built.
Sorry, there's you something. Said you were in communication with Mr. Whatley?
I don't think we're in there.
Oh, no, you could have all walked in at this point.
I assumed we all walked in when she was carrying the $250 to make sure she didn't run out the back. I said, hey, we split this 50-50, and then, run away.
So, no, I haven't been in communication with Mr. Whatley for some days. I've been needing to communicate that I had a very fine piece for him, but it seems that he is the loser in this transaction.
I thought you said that you had been communicating and that he had not responded to your communication. Have you been dropping messages somewhere for him?
Oh, yes, at the hotel he stays in.
Which hotel is that?
The Golden Dragon.
Okay, that is the same one that we
yes.
were in last time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was not called the Golden Dragon.
It was
it's the golden. Getting... What does it say on the screen there? I can't read the line.
Golden pigeon.
No. I can't make it out on this map.
No, okay, but that's
golden turkey.
Golden eagle, maybe.
Golden eagle.
That's golden eagle. Yep. That's it. Yeah, right. And the Orleans Hotel is across the street.
All right. Okay.
We can rename it to the Golden Dragon. Yeah, sure, I'm going to be happy.
Yes.
If it's going to be golden, it's got to be a dragon.
If it's anything, it's got to be a dragon.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, every different color, not just gold. Okay. Thank you.
Right. Well, after once again trying to direct everyone's attention to his newest tapestries and hats, he leaves you to your...
Well, if he's got any with dragons on, I will just...
Oh, of course not.
I would like to ask him what some of the... other items Mr. Whatley has bought.
Well, as I said before, he's interested in religious items of all kinds. He's bought crosses for me. As I said, the possible fragment of the true cross itself. He came across my possession. I don't I made no promises that it actually was. It's simply what I was told. Other objects d'art that have graced a chapel or two in the old world, that sort of thing.
Huh.
He doesn't seem like a particularly pious man to me. It must be perhaps he is buying for someone else.
He could be. He very well could be. So where did you run across this item?
Oh, the same place that I got these fine tapestries. We have opened up lines of trade and communication in foreign lands, and we have gotten all kinds of interesting... We've got some very fascinating knife work. Men such as yourself might take an interest in these things. He actually does pull out a few, basically curved Tibetan ceremonial daggers. Trying to think of that really bad movie with it had one of the...
Golden Child?
No. It had a had a Tibetan dagger that had a big grinning demon face on it, and
Shadow.
One of the Baldwin brothers was in it.
The Shadow.
Yeah,
the
Shadow.
Got one of those.
Huh. Well, I will take a look at some of the tapestries. Anything interesting?
Oh, well, I mean, they're interesting. Lots of geometric patterns. They're made of silks and nice fine brocades. They're nice.
Anything that would fit in with my decor at my new home?
Oh, certainly. He points out a few. What color have you decorated in? Let me point this one out to you. Nice lady who they just handed over $250 to me. Let me show you more.
Okay. Well, if I find anything particularly nice and not too expensive, I'll pick it up and have it shipped to... back to perdition.
Yeah.
Care of Richard.
Yep. You got the idea that since the things that are on display do actually have price tags on them, and these are very, modest in comparison, that he might have overcharged you for the relic. these are very reasonable prices for some things. And so, yeah, you can get a few wall hangings and a few carpets to send back.
Okay.
If it helps you overcharge the agency, so it's not too bad.
Yeah,
yeah, and that stuff you can handle out of just pocket money that you would have. So, yep. He's glad to have made a new contact to sell such great things to. And Eddie, as far as you're concerned, the tapestries and carpets are just fine, but these daggers have been drenched in lots and lots and lots of blood. These are not nice, happy daggers. No, they are not.
I'm not a knife person.
Yeah. They don't have that same kind of stink to them that the reliquary does. But you can tell that these these have been used violently many times.
That's fine. That is fine.
All right. So after getting your house appointed there, Sharon. And what are you guys doing next?
Since we were talking about Sharon's house, this is a little bit off topic. I was listening to the podcast, and the house that was being built that Eddie ran into with the angels, could that have been Sharon's house?
It was not intended to be.
But, I know. It could have been. That ran through my mind.
Definitely could have been.
There is a small thing I wanted to do. But since we're in, I'm not sure if I actually did this last time or not, but since we're in a decent place with the Smith and Robards, Lacey O'Malley, I believe it was, said that I could possibly chat with some of the Smith and Robards people. And so I was going to send a telegram off to him to say, we're here. Do you want to let these people know that I am a...
Oh, yes. He
said person, he so.
Would send along a letter of introduction for
yeah.
him. So you could check to see if that's arrived.
I don't know if I sent it off to say I'm here or not. I can't remember if I did that or not. So if I haven't done that, I'll do that. If I have done that, then hey, I'll check to see if it has arrived.
Sure. You can telegram to find out. It's a quick enough response.
Yeah.
Probably takes, just a few hours. He does come back and say, yes, he has wired on an introduction for you. And you should be able to talk to some of their engineers.
Wait. And yeah, if you guys need me, I'll be over there.
Pretty sure it was our man, not Lacey O'Malley. No, head of service.
I thought it was Lacey.
I might be wrong, but I just remember him talking.
It was
about
still someone. I can't even
hear. Yeah.
Whoever it was, hey.
You messaged various people saying, hey, did you say this to me?
And directions to the place is very easy. People just tell you, follow the mad cackling laughter. That direction.
I end up back at our party. Wait a minute.
All right. What's everyone else doing?
I would like to find an occult shop to get more information.
An occult shop. That is an interesting thing.
Or a library or something that I could get some information on Tibet.
Okay, there is a small library in town for sure. If you want to ask around, do you have any kind of skills with like streetwise of some sort?
I doubt it.
Something that will, let's see. Well, I tell you what, you can make a knowledge occult roll just to know where to look for this sort of shop. Like, yeah, that's a pass. Normally these things are, you'd be looking for places that sell books, but not just any book, like specialty books, musty bookshops. A lot of these people tend to collect the sort of book. And if you're lucky, you might find one that's a specialist in this sort of thing. But definitely that's what you're looking for, is a place that sells books. Libraries typically don't hold this kind of information, but booksellers, that's where you want.
Yeah. Maybe a bookseller that's kind of close to the Rat District. not a place that's real spiffy. This way they could try and sham the lesser known. I'll take a look.
Sure. If you want to ask around, people will direct you that just off Front Street, there are actually a few bookstores there. So in this area here. All right. So Luke is going off his own direction. Sounds like Eddie's going off in his own direction. What are other people doing? And Eddie, unless you're stopping back at the hotel, I assume you're carrying the thing with you?
No, I was going to go to the hotel.
Okay. Are you putting it in your room or are you putting it in their safe?
Safe.
Okay. Yeah. They'll do so and note on your account that you have something in their safe.
Okay. I am going to go back to the hotel, pick up make sure I'm wearing something nice and respectable, drop off any of the small incidental purchases that I've made. Anything valuable goes in the safe. And then I am going to Sacramento has a hospital, I'm assuming?
Yes. There are several doctors here. They don't have a hospital per se.
The
military fort probably does. But the city itself has a few different doctors. No actual hospital.
Okay, then no like medical school or anything.
Nope.
Okay, well, I'm just going to go around to various of the doctors and also to the fort and just drop off my card saying that I'm in town for several days and my services, if needed, are available.
Okay. What side did you fight on again?
Confederate.
So you and Eddie are heading to the hotel to drop your stuff up at the same time. Luke, you're heading out to Smith and Robards, leaving Weimatai, and Luke, what are you doing?
You mean Young.
Young, sorry. Yeah, Weimatai and Young.
Young.
Yeah. You're welcome to go with anyone else, or if there was something else you're wanting to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the two of us might fit in the Rat District, so maybe just go and have a look to see what it's like down there.
Interesting, okay.
For anything particular at this point.
All right, we'll start with you two then. with Young and Weimatai, you can give me another set of notice rolls there.
I can't. You know the last lot was just rubbish as well. So.
You're not being distracted by food this time. Well, maybe.
Weimatai rolled another two. Yeah. Young.
I could sculpt that guy, then move on to that guy with one motion and spin around and take that guy out.
Oh my gosh.
There you go. Twos all round.
I think the red box means that you actually got a critical fail as well.
No, the red box means you rolled A1 of some description somewhere. Yep.
Mm.
If you hover over it, it actually tells you what the rules are.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Yeah, you're oblivious as you walk into the Rat District. It is very clear once you've entered the district. I mean, you've got these very nice, clean streets, well patrolled, and then suddenly you start seeing houses that are looking, well, I mean, dilapidated. I mean, they're leaning. Some of them don't have roofs. Some of them have burned out sections. I mean, it really is a sharp contrast. The one building that does look like it's still in good repair is probably the hotel you've been hearing of. It's four-story. It looks at one time, like pre-quake, that it was very richly appointed. It's an impressive brownstone. The area that it's in once had a theater here. There are a few buildings that looks like they may have been mansions at one time. So this may have been a very wealthy district before what befell the area. So this four-story brownstone is in better repair than most of the buildings around it, but it still seems just a little tattered around the edges. You know, like the shingles are falling off, some of the windows are broken, but it is definitely still open for business. You see some younger men hanging around the front, just kind of loitering. Some of them are drinking, sitting on the stoops, watching bypassers go by. You notice that there are not too many people on the streets, and those that are seem to be walking very purposely, eyes to the ground, not making a lot of eye contact, hurrying off to their destinations. Okay, so I'll leave you for a minute. And Luke and Sarah, as you're heading back to the hotel, Eddie and Sarah, if you guys can give me a pair of notice rolls there as well.
No modifier, right?
No particular modifier, no.
Okay. 7.
Good. And a 5. So you both pass. You're chatting with one another as you're walking down the center street there to get to your hotel. And Eddie, the hair on the back of your neck raises a little bit, and you just got that awareness in the back of your mind that you're being stalked, that you're being hunted. And as you stop for a moment trying to assess what this feeling is coming from, Sarah also recognizes that there are a couple of men back there that you've just been kind of noticing every time you turn a corner or two. They're not dressed any particularly different than anyone else. One of them is tall, probably a good 6'4", 6'5". The other one is more modest in height, but of a thicker build. And if it wasn't for the tall one, you would not have really noticed them again. But you know, now that Eddie's stopped and seems to be just a little twitchy, you're thinking, I keep seeing that tall guy and his buddy. Every time I turn a corner, they seem to be right behind us.
And we haven't made it to the hotel yet, have we?
You have not. Here, for reference, you are. Hotel is here. That's the Golden Eagle, and you guys are coming down this street here. And again, you know, they're not obviously following you, like right behind you. They're in the crowd. They seem to be milling around. And again, you do see soldiers just about everywhere.
Okay. So we're not too far from the hotel.
No, you're not.
Okay, so I'm going to pick up the pace and head directly for the hotel.
Okay. Now that you have notice of the men, though, definitely once you start off faster, you do see that they're moving through the crowd faster as well, but still trying to stay within the crowd. You're still playing as if, they're being stealthy and don't know that they have been seen, but they have picked up the pace.
Okay, I'm going to keep me
you make
personally.
It to the hotel.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just going to follow. Yeah. You know, I know something's up. I'm going to follow Sarah. So. Yeah,
just basically make it to the hotel as quickly as possible.
So you make it to the hotel, and then you do what you do, what you said. You put your stuff away, and you put your stuff in the safe, that sort of thing, giving yourself. Dressed, etc. We're going to pause for you for a moment. And Luke, give me a notice roll.
This can't possibly go wrong. Where's my notice? Notice. Do go.
Oh my gosh.
Woo!
Wow.
Yeah.
Do I even notice the place I'm going?
Actually, that's why you rolled a 1, because the directions there are Not as good as you were hoping. They basically just tell you north end of the town. It's kind of away from all the other buildings, because they do all kinds of testing out there. You're looking for a long warehouse. So that's basically all they tell you. It's a long warehouse with a red roof. And, about halfway there, I mean, you finally see the building that they must be talking about. It's on the very outskirts of town. There's very little around it. There's like a little stagecoach place there where, you know, they change off the horses and they garage the carriages. And there's a small coal plant there. And when I mean plant, you know, they're breaking up the coal for use in things like well, steamships and rails. Not electricity at this point. And it's kind of all by its lonesome with a big fence around it. But kind of a largish man kind of plows into you from a side street. And it's like, I'm very sorry, sir. Actually, go ahead and give me a... let's see what best suits this sort of thing. Probably...
So
a vigor roll. Just give me a straight vigor roll.
Okay. 7.
Oh, that's perfect. He actually goes sprawling, not you, as he barrels into you, and he's very apologetic. He says, I'm very sorry, sir. I didn't see you there. I was very engrossed. And, he picks himself up and takes a small brush out of the back of his pocket and starts brushing off your suit. He says, I'm very sorry if I've caused you any damage. I'd be very glad to make it right, sir. I'm a tailor by trade. It's a very interesting ensemble you have. I'm very sorry, sir. Very, very sorry. If I've caused you any distress to your garments, and he hands you over a business card, I'm very sorry.
That should be fine. It's just me. Wasn't exactly watching where I was going either. I'm just trying to find a place where they blow things up.
Oh, you're heading in the right direction, sir. That long building right there, the fence around it, as he continues to walk away.
Thank you. As he leaves, I'm just going to check to see if he picked my pockets. I remember that. I've traveled the world a bit, and that's a very common technique.
Right. Looking at your sheet here, what are you carrying on you? What would you have left in your room? I'm assuming you're not carrying sticks of dynamite on yourself, nor your double barrel shotgun or your club.
I've just got them there in case I need them. Now I've got them there to roll. I'd have my money on me. I don't think I'd have my spyglass with me because we're in town.
Okay.
Drag him with me, of course. Drag him on that, isn't it?
More importantly, do you have your Colt Peacemaker on you?
Yes.
You don't now.
That's my standard sort of gun that I have for every time.
Yep. You're the first thing you check for, of course, your wallet and your personal effects, and then you go and you touch your gun holster and your Colt's missing.
All right. Chase! Timmy, get him!
This happens pretty quick, since this was your first reaction, was to check yourself down. So he's kind of hurrying off through the crowd. You're like, wait, hold it! And you start after him. And now you can
get him, Dragon.
You can give me one more notice roll.
No, I can't. Barely. Yes.
Okay, yeah. So barely. So what happens is he's going through the crowd and you're going after him, maybe yelling out.
Who should you pass it off to?
Actually what you notice is that as the crowd is kind of parting around you, as you're kind of shouting and such, two burly men, however, are not parting out of your ways. As a matter of fact, they go to as if they're walking by you, and instead each of them grabs one of your arms and they start to push you into a side street. Now you notice this as it's happening. So
I hope I notice it as they're grabbing me and pulling me aside.
Well, I mean, they're very nonchalant about it. They act like they're parting around you, but then just before they get around you, each of them grab or go for an arm and are trying to hustle you into an alley. So we're going to go to the moment right before they grab your arms. Okay. Mm-hmm. You got your notice roll. So I will allow you to have an action before they actually get a hold of you.
If they're going to be, they look like they're in my way, I was just going to juke around them.
Okay, that sounds to me like an agility roll using your reflexes to kind of roll past them. You go ahead and do that.
Here are my arms. Take them.
Well, they could also fail, I suppose. So let me roll for them, and we'll just see how this works.
We have to do a lot worse than what I got.
Well, no, they in fact, both of them grab either one of your arms before you're able to react and lift you off the ground bodily and force you down into a side alley.
I'm not seeing the roll of the if you roll something.
Oh, I'm sorry. I rolled it in Fantasy Grounds. Just because
Okay.
Yeah. All right. 5.
All right. Yep. No. Yep. Take me away.
Right. So they take you into an alley that's just out of sight of the main thoroughfare of traffic. You're very, very cognizant of the fact that there aren't any other eyes in the alley. And they kind of push you up against the brick wall. One of them gets very close to your face where you can smell the now very familiar smell of AAA whiskey as well as very ruined teeth.
Right.
Hey now, what you in town for? You asking a lot of questions.
Who are you?
Never mind that.
I'm in town for my own business.
All right. The other guy who's not interrogating you punches you in the gut.
Yep.
Let's see.
I also would have had my magical dispelling crystal thing as well. Colt was a much easier thing to grab.
Yeah. Well, they wanted to disarm you, really. This was a setup. Yeah. So, yeah. Punches you in the gut. He thinks he's being tough, but actually it was a really crappy roll.
Toughness 7. Yeah.
So it doesn't really.
I'm just going to roll with it. Lucky she got me quite bad.
Yeah.
Hey, now, you see, our employers don't like people monkeying around at his business. Now, who are you here for? Now, you answer fast. Or my buddy here.
I might take a shine to
removing one of those kneecaps of yours.
I'm just here to talk to the Smith and Robards. You know them?
The guy that just punched you in the gut is a little shorter. He looks up and says, it's legit. It's right over there, Mac.
Like, you shut up. We know you've been asking questions. Questions about our employer. Now, I'm going to ask you one more time. Who sent you?
I do know that I want to give, but I can't remember it as a person. The caretaker. That's it. The caretaker sent me.
Okay, actually, that works pretty good. You got any kind of interpersonal skill?
Don't be silly.
Give me a persuasion roll.
Okay, so that should be that with a...
Oh, God!
You want to take it as a 2, or do you want to chip anything there?
I don't think it exploded. Yeah, it's not exploded.
Okay, then go ahead and re-roll.
No, wait, no, it did explode. No. It's fine.
Okay. You want to go with that? You want to chip it?
I'll try one white just because, it's not going to matter any, but we'll just find out. Boom. Well, there we go. Slightly.
You say caretaker, and both of them seem to know exactly who you're talking about. The guy that's kind of holding you roughly kind of lets go. Kind of pats down your shoulders where he gripped you. He says, "Oh, hey, no harm meant, right?"
No, not at all. got my gun?
Yeah, we'll get it back to you. You're at the Golden Eagle, right?
Yep.
And we'll have it returned to you. Hey, no bad feelings, right? We didn't know that you were a family.
Yeah, it's an account with him. You ever had one of his ham sandwiches?
The shorter guy shudders. Yeah. He's still doing that, huh?
Yeah.
You know that same pork has been down there for 5 years?
Yeah.
He's still keeping that clock of his going, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Every night he's down there making sure it's ticking along.
All right. They kind of nod to each other. And say, oh, well. We'll be seeing you then. Yeah, yep. Nick will come by and pay you a visit the next day or two.
That'd be great.
Yeah, they leave you be.
Yeah. Well, somehow you were dragon.
Yeah. Here, take a ship. That's pretty good. Take another white.
Replace the white I used. Yeah. Yay, excellent. All right.
All right. Hello?
I'm here.
Hello?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Everything went quiet for a moment.
Yeah, it went very quiet.
I think Jameis muted.
Okay. So, Jameis, you do make it to the warehouse then. It does have a it's got a 7-foot wooden fence all around the warehouse. And in the very front is the warehouse doors. It's just got danger, beware, admittance by request only. There's a big buzzer at the gate, though. It's a big red button just on a post next to the gate.
All right, I'll push the button.
Okay. Inside.
The way's going to blow up.
You hear faintly in the distance some kind of rumbling alarm goes off, and then a voice just kind of materializes around you. You don't really see where it's coming from. And it says, welcome to the home of Smith & Robards in Sacramento. What can we do for you today, sir?
Yes, my name is Luke Villeneuve. I believe I'm expected.
Oh, stand by, please. You hear some faint, tinny music in the background. After a few minutes pass by, you hear a buzz and some kind of latch on the wooden gate engages, and it pops open. It says, "Yes, sir, come right in. Please latch the gate behind you on your way in."
Yeah, I'll do so.
And when you step to the other side, there is a small cubby here that's kind of set on a post. In this cubby is a hard hat, some lenses, and something that looks like a blacksmith's leather front piece.
Smock.
Right. Mm-hmm. And over the intercom again, you hear the same voice saying, please accouter yourselves with the items that you find in the box there, please, for your safety, of course.
All right, I'll don them on. I'll look down at Dragon. You may want to stay here.
Dragon hops into the box. You will notice that there's a path clearly delineated to the main warehouse. Please don't deviate this by more than a foot. We will not be held responsible for any actions that are beyond what we have asked you to do. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll go on in. I don't have any particular scene in mind, Bert, so I don't know.
That's fine. As you're walking down this trail, you notice that, yes, there is it's like chalk marked on the ground. It's kind of a windy trail, and off to either side, occasionally you see little divots in the ground where things have exploded. You see wrecks of, just wrecks of kind of machinery and just steam boilers and all kinds of things just scattered all around the inside lot. This is, it looks like kind of like a junkyard or a salvage yard.
Quite possible, yes.
Yep, and so we'll pause on you there as you go happily to your toy store. Meanwhile, in the Rat District, you're in a very unfriendly part of town. You and Weematai, people are studiously ignoring you. Young, what are you doing?
Okay, so they're ignoring us.
Yes.
I'm just here to look around to see what kind of a place it is, to see what is going on here, and who would fit in. I'm not looking for anybody in particular. I'm not looking to go into their area. I'm not looking to try and do a reconnaissance run of the actual place, the person that we're trying to find.
What are you carrying on you right now?
All of the rings, lockpick set, Psy, and I've got the Grimes walking stick strapped to my back.
You and Weematai are probably the two perfect people for this. Okay, so you walk in, and seeing the makeup of the people in here, you kind of fit in because you do see that there are a lot more of like Mexicali disposition. You do see some Chinese here as well as a few Native Americans. And you know, everyone looks a little. It's not really fair to say down on their luck. Like, everybody is actually wearing, you know, the clothes are just fine. No one's going around with holes in their shoes or, you know, bare-chested or whatever. It's just the whole area just seems to make everything really depressing. Everyone here just seems to be very, like, you know, either frightful, and no one's making eye contact, or they seemed almost predatory, like those young men on that stoop over there where that you're guessing is the hotel. You know, every once in a while you'll catch them looking at you and they'll turn their heads if you turn to look at them. Obviously, people do live here.
Pointer in the direction of those people.
So you're, I'm sorry.
Do you wish? Yeah. Okay. So I point out those people to Weemutai as if she hasn't noticed the people who are on these steps, the predators. And then, do you wish to go down an alley or something and have them try and attack us so we could take somebody back to question in for the others to look, talk to?
She thinks about it for a moment and she says, let's just go question them. And she pulls out her axe and walks towards the young tubs.
Okay, I shrug. Look at the camera. Walk over.
Yeah, so she just kind of just straight as an arrow walks right towards the stoop where all the young people are, and she does, in fact, have her axe out. The young men, for a moment, look a little amused until they see the look in her face. and then some of them just kind of scatter. Two of them stay. You know, they've got rolled up cigarettes in their hands. That you can tell that their hands are just a little shaky as he lights it and tries to look tough. And he stands, the two that are remaining, this looked like they were the two slightly older boys, are kind of blocking the entrance to the hotel. And they kind of stand, arms crossed, legs splayed just a little bit, as if to block your progress. You can tell neither of them are particularly confident in what they're doing. They're shaking just a little bit, but they're putting on a good front. And Weemutai comes up. Waves her axe at both of them, and then pauses for a moment, and then looks over to you and says, what are we asking them?
I don't know. I was just intending to take one of them back to the hotel, the Nice Spirit Place Hotel, to see if anybody else had any questions. So, pick one to leave alive. And we'll take the other one, and we'll take the living one back.
All right, I'm not going to have you, unless, do you have any kind of intimidation skill?
No, no.
Yeah, I'm not going to have you roll this. I'm just going to see how they react to you saying this in front of them.
Yep.
Not good. One of them gets a little weak in the knees and starts coughing over his cigarette, which he spits out. The other one drops a cigarette, kind of stamps it out, and looks a little worried. He looks actually up and over a little bit, like he's looking into one of the windows into the hotel. Big gulp. And he says, we haven't done anything to you folk. What do you want with us? Now, we got people watching us, you know. I mean, you know, you can't just go kidnapping people.
You are coming for a nice ride down to the good part of town. You are not being kidnapped at all. You are coming willingly. I'm certain that is what is happening here.
I don't know you people. Why would I do that? And he glances up at the window again.
Because you wish to be the one who is left alive.
Oh my.
You know what? I'll play Epiphany and I'll take a D6 in intimidation.
You don't. Nah, you don't have to roll for this at all. That's pretty well. Okay, so the younger of the two just breaks out, crying. He says, "I hear about these people, white slavers. They're going to take us out there. They're going to sell us to some nasty old people and." The guy is like, thinking about what you just said. Yeah, I'll go with you. Kind of steps away from his friend, says, all right, Charles.
All right, well.
Weemutai approaches Charles with her axe.
Well, I'm not going to stop her if she's actually going to kill him. Which will, be fun and interesting in this lawful city. But.
Weemutai lays her axe on his cheek and bends down and whispers something into his ear. There is the smell of defecation. And Weemutai takes her axe back with just a little bit of blood on the tip. Just a little bit. A little bit. And sticks it back in and smiles at the other tall young man in that disconcerting way that she does when you know she's really not happy about something. Yeah, you were saying, we can go now. Where are you taking me?
We'll go back to the hotel to try and find it. All
right. Good enough. All right, so Eddie, you're going to go look for the bookstore. Well, actually, do your plans change knowing that you were followed? Eddie and Sarah.
No. I wanted to get that piece there. Once it's gone, I'm more relaxed, and I feel as though I could take care of these two or three.
I'm actually just going to stay in the hotel, maybe order some room service, maybe get a good night's rest or something, but I'm actually not going to go out again until someone else comes back to our suite.
Okay, good enough. Eddie, do you do anything special to try and shake your tail, or do you just go on as if you don't know they're there?
I'm going to go on as if I don't know they're there, but because I know they're there, I'm a little bit more careful.
Okay. Give me a notice roll. And you're starting to robot just a little. Wow. They're not there. You are not being followed now.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Mm-hmm. So you make it to the area around Front Street, where you were told there are a few bookstores. Mm-hmm. One you discount right away because it's mostly a newsstand. They've got a few books which are, you know, current penny dreadful variety. Nothing old, nothing with any age to it. So
in that stand, are there any stories that kind of relate to what we've been going through?
Well, there are sections of the paper that talk about strange goings-ons. A lot of it is folk tales, that sort of thing. Not unusual. So really nothing you haven't seen in papers before.
I'm thinking more of what we've personally done.
Mm-hmm.
If they're out there. It was just an idea.
But you do eventually find a little hole in the wall. This is a store that's kind of in the basement of another store. The other store is a garment store, and mm-hmm. you're about to bypass it when you notice that there's a little sign on the back end of this garment store, and it's a little basement part that's slightly underground. You go around back, and there is a nice little wooden door there, and there's a little shingle as Pike's Book Place.
I will definitely go in.
Yeah. This is exactly what you're looking for. You step in, you smell the smell of musty book. And this place is not organized. I mean, there are stacks of books on the floor here and there, and it's kind of like a maze that you have to wind your way through. There are shelves lining all the walls, but he has so many more books than he has shelves. This is a really pale, the guy's probably in his late 30s or so. He's definitely kind of like stooped over, very pale skin, huge Coke bottle like glasses on. As you come in, there is a small chime of a bell that rings as you come in, and he just waves at you from the very back of the establishment, and he says, yeah, if you need help, just come on up to the desk. Feel free to look around.
I'm going to bypass everything and go right to him.
Okay. Oh, yes. He pulls his huge glasses off and cleans them with his necktie, puts them back on. Seems you have something specific in mind.
Yes, I do. I am looking for, let's say, some bookish information on odd happenings that are out of the norm.
Blinks a few times. He says, popular fiction? Tales?
More like lore.
Oh, lore. He glances down at your hands for a moment as if he's expecting to see something that he's not seeing. And then kind of looks back up to you and he says, well, I've got a few interesting books. Those stacks there on the left. No, not those. The one right there.
I'll turn and look at the stack and go, more like the books that would not be out to the normal public.
Okay. You get the idea that he knows exactly what you're talking about, but he's waiting for you to say something.
Oh, God.
You can give me a notice roll.
Yeah, let me do that. 5.
That's good enough. You notice he's wearing a ring. A ring that you've seen before.
On the angels?
No. As a matter of fact, it is a ring that's got, it's basically a lit torch for my particular society.
Do I have any idea what society that belongs to?
Okay, need to pause the fiction here for just a moment because I can't, as a GM, remember. Was Eddie
not part of that? Nope.
He was not part of that storyline.
He might have seen us showing the rings around to various people at points.
Okay. Then, you're familiar with the rings because you've seen your friends have one and been showing it around. But that's all you know about it.
Okay.
Well, certainly, those stacks over there are bound to have something you're interested in. If you could be more precise.
I'm going, I'll look back at the stack.
Mm-hmm.
Flex my hand, wiggle my fingers, and go, precautions, the public, sometimes they know things they shouldn't. Keeping things in a safe spot, sometimes you have to go get them and come back. So, I shall return.
Okay. All right. Yeah, he nods to you and goes back to working on the book that he's reading.
Okay. I'm going to go to the other bookstore then, if there's another one.
Yeah, basically the other ones are just newsstands selling newspapers from different places. A few of them have penny dreadfuls, which are like the new fad thing. Nothing really else that is attention grabbing for you.
Okay. Then I'll make my way back to the hotel then.
Okay. About that time, before you get there, at the hotel, Sarah, you're staying in your room, or are you staying like in the common area of the hotel?
I'm staying in the common area of the my understanding is that we had like kind of a suite of rooms that opened up into... Right, so I'm staying in the common area of our that. Suite of... Yes.
Okay. In which case, there is a knock on the common door.
Okay. Who is it?
Hotel staff, ma'am.
Okay, I'll walk to the door, cautiously look out and open it.
Sure. There's one of the staff workers is there with a silver plate, and on that plate is a silk cloth with a gun on it. He said, delivery, this was sent to your room?
Do I recognize the gun at all?
Is there anything special about your cult, Jameis? Maybe Jameis is not with us. I don't think there's anything special about his cult, so...
No. I was just away. Okay. Instead of a wireless headset, I've now got a very long wired headset. But I don't have a microphone, so... No. It's just a generic cult that she'd recognize as, it's a cult that...
Exactly.
It looks like a gun that one of our script users...
All right. Okay, well, thank you. I give him a tip.
Oh, yep. You're welcome.
Okay, I put it, assuming if this is like a common room and everything, there's like a table in the area.
Yes.
Yes, so I put it on the table.
Okay, good enough. And let's finish up with Luke and then we'll get everybody else back together. So Luke, you get to the main warehouse and there are several men there wearing the same, wearing hard hat, these odd glasses and these, blast protecting, leather fronts as you come in. And there's all kinds of, It's just noisy, really noisy in here as people are banging away and working on all kinds of automaton and different gadgets here and there. Small explosions here and there, electrical arcs. There is some cackling. There's definitely some cackling going on.
Of course. You can't have a good mad scientist without cackling.
The voice that you heard over the speaker is the one that greets you. And it's like, yes. We were told to expect you at some point in time. The person that sent along a recommendation for you held in very very good esteem with upper management. So you have the run of the factory floor. Sir, we're at your disposal if you have any questions. There are a few areas that, unfortunately, we have some devices that are still undergoing secretive construction that we'll unfortunately not be able to share with you. But the factory floor itself, please have a look around. You are a man of science, I take it.
Yes, I am. I was just sort of more interested to widen my area of knowledge. I have some small training in this area, and so I was looking for opportunities to find out what is possible.
Oh, what is your area of expertise, sir? Combustion, explosions. We have rambles off everything that they're working on as far as.
Oh, a little bit of everything.
Yes.
I don't think Luke really has a special. I mean, fine, he's good with explosives, but that's just because someone sees the skill. Right. As a mad scientist, I don't think you don't really have a speciality, do you?
No, not well. You can. I mean, you can have to be like potion maker, for instance. And
what I'm interested in is how to phrase this in an in-game way. Trying to counter other abilities, in particular those that don't really seem to be too akin to science. I don't know if you can get what I'm saying, Bert.
And they interpret it a little differently as you're looking for a device that is used to counter alternate frequencies of reality streams. And
I've got one such a device myself, but it seems to be a bit hampered against particular alternative variances there. So I'd like to at least try and fine-tune it towards that or learn about that sort of thing.
Okay. Out of the fiction for a moment. This is a good place to get a little bonus on a particular type of streamlining of your item. You are going to be welcome here to spend some time doing research, and you can talk to some of the people that are in development of things that might work for that. And so if Luke is able to spend a week or two here, okay? What will happen is I will allow you to pick a type of right now it works.
It's going to be miracles. This is talking about. It's going to be miracles.
So every week that you can spend here, what it'll let you do is remove one of the minuses. So spend 1 week and it'll remove one minus one. Spend 2 weeks, it will remove minus two.
Sweet. Do we have 2 weeks to spend here, guys? See ya. I'll just bring an alternate character into a while.
Yep. So that's really going to be the question, is how much time can Luke really...
At least hopefully I can make connection and then maybe come back later.
Yeah.
During our downtime and that.
So, yeah, sure. You make some contacts and you get a lot of people that are theoretically interested in your particular problem and are offering their expertise.
I can see me being dragged out when a dragon comes in and basically it gets me because he's hungry and so I have to take him away.
So you're going to be there a while. So I'm going to say when everyone else gets back to the hotel, you're not there yet because you're involved, okay?
That's it.
Fortunately, that would make sense for the fiction there.
Yep.
So eventually everyone else does get back to the hotel. With Wimitai and Young having a youngish teenager in tow who looks like at any moment he's going to be sold off to the white slaver ring.
Neither of us are white.
Well, that's exactly why you would be selling him into a white slaver ring, because you're not white. And, he's just a commodity to you.
It's possible to take five in a minute.
Yeah, let's go ahead. It's a good place. Let's go ahead and take five here, okay?
Okay.
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.